All right, so we're going to start there at bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Bet, about 17 lines up. It says, "Man tano the hat tano rabbanon." Who's the author of this brisa? V'shachat et zeir chatat asher la'am. We know that the karbanot, that the central karbanot of Yom Kippurim, you have the shnei asirim. One is zeir that goes la'Hashem, that goes bifnim, lafnai bifnim. You have the zeir la'zazel, and you have the par of the kohen gadol. And here, in Achremot, when it's describing the Avodat Yom HaKippurim, it says that the Kohen HaGadol has to be shechat et ha-seir ha-chatat asher la'am. That is to shech the seir ha-chatat that belongs to the Am. So when it say that it belongs to the Am, the question is, what's that limitation? What does it mean that it only belongs to the Am? She'en ha-kohanim mitchaprim bo. So the Braisa's statement now is, well, if it's la'am, that means that it's not for the Kohanim, mean the Am to the exclusion of the Kohanim. So then it says, Ubameh mitchaprim. So then if that's the case, what do the Kohanim themselves get kapara with? If they can't use the Seir that the Am brings, because they're excluded from the word Am, so then maybe what's their kapara? So then where it says, but paro shel Aron. They use the par of Aron, meaning that's the other central part of the Avodah, is the par that's Naseh Bifnim, the par of Aron. Now you would think there's a possibility here that they would not be included in the power of Aaron. Because when it comes to the power of Aaron, it's not, as opposed to when we talk about the Shachat at the Seir, right? Achatat la'am, that's the Seir of the Am. When it references the power of Aaron Kohen, it says Asher Lo, that belongs to him. So now we think that the Kohanim are excluded from both sides. You have the Kohanim excluded from the Seir of the Am, because it says, Asher Chatat, Asher the Am. And when he comes to Aaron's par, it says, V'ikriv Aaron at the par Chatat, Asher Lo, V'chiper Ba'do, Ba'd Beito. And it says a number of times. Actually, the word Asher Lo happens three times. We'll see that later in the Gemara. But the Asher Lo seems to mean that it's exclusive to Aaron and not to the Kohanim. Simiata, Ein Lehem Kapara. So now you have a problem. The Kohanim don't fit into the Seir of the Am, and they don't fit into the par of Aaron HaKohen. Shomer yichaper al Kohanim. But yet, at the end of the Parsha, when it comes to the end of the Avodat Yom HaKippurim in Parshat Achremot, it says that there is a kapara for the Kohanim mitzvah. Oh, I mean that it's not unique. V'chiper et mikdash ha-kodesh v'tol moed v'et ha-mizbeach yichaper v'al ha-kohanim v'al kol ha-am ha-kahal yichaper. So there is kapara for the Kohanim. Now, if they're not included in the par of Aaron, and they're not included in the Seir of Bnei Israel, and they do get kapara, where does that happen from? Matzinu lehen kapara. So now they know they get kapara. Bamehen mitkaprim. Now, what is it that they get kapara from, since they're excluded from both the par of Aaron and the Seir of the Am? So, mutav shitchapru v'paro shel Aaron, shrehutar michlolo itzel beito. So we're better off including them under the category, under the power of Aaron, because when it comes to the power of Aaron, at least it's not just for Aaron. It includes Aaron, Uveito, and his family. So even though it says Asher Lo, we already know that we've breached the Asher Lo, because it's not uniquely for Aaron, it's for Aaron and his family. And not use the same name, Asher Lo Hutar Michlalo. When it says the Am is exclusive, and we don't have any exception to that rule. So it's a beito, that there's no exception to that rule because, for instance, the family of Aaron is not included there. V'him nafshecholumar, and if you're not willing to accept this, Hari Omer, Beit Aaron Baruchuet Hashem, Beit Levi Baruchuet Hashem, Mirei Hashem Baruchuet Hashem. So that the Gemara will ask later on, explain that part of the brisa. But the basic question is, Mantana, who's the author of this brisa? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Delok Rabbi Yehuda. This cannot be Rabbi Yehuda. De'i Rabbi Yehuda, if it's Rabbi Yehuda, ha'amar kohanim yeshlem kapara b'sayir mishtaleach. Because we already know that the kohanim have kapara. According to Rabbi Yehuda, this was the machlokas in our Mishnah that we've mentioned again over here in this daf, which is that the kohanim, when it comes to other aveirot besides kodesh and mikdash, right, there's a machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda believes they are included under sayir mishtaleach, and Rabbi Shimon believes that they're included under the par of Aharon. That's how they get the vidui on the par of Aharon, is what includes them. So it can't be, Rabbi Yehuda cannot be the author of this statement, because if it was Rabbi Yehuda, fine that they don't get kapara from the par, nevertheless they have kapara from the Seir Mishtaleach for every other veira besides Mikdash Ukdashav. So how can the Braisa come along and say that the Kohanim have no kapara? They do have a kapara from the Seir Mishtaleach. The only thing they're missing is this one area of Mikdash Ukdashav. Umani. So who is it then? So Rava Amar, it's Rabbi Shimon. Must be Rabbi Shimon, Damar Kohanim, Enlem Kapara, Basir Mishtalech. Since the Kohanim have no part in the Seir Mishtalech, they have no part in the Seir Bifnim, and the Havamin of the Brice is that they have no part in the Par of Aron. If that's the case, they will get no Kapara. If that, but the Pasuk at the end of the Parsha of Yom Kippur in Achremot says that, right, the Kapara la Kohanim, that the Kohanim do get Kapara. So that would be, Rabbi Shimon being the author of a Brice would make sense. Abaya Amar, Abaya says, no, Afilu Tamer Rabbi Yehuda. Even Rabbi Yehuda can be the author of this Brisa. How is that? Hachi Kamar. This is the way he would be the author of the Brisa. Me'ata, ein lahem kapara b'tumat mikdash ukdashav. Read the Brisa means that now the Kohanim have no kapara when it comes to tumat mikdash ukdashav. They're excluded from the Seir Bifnim. They're excluded from the power of Aaron. Now they have nothing that's mechaper for them on tumat mikdash ukdashav. Ukshomer yechaper ala Kohanim. At the end of the Parsha, it says that the Kohanim do get kapara. Matzino sheyesh lahem kapara b'shara veirot. We know they get kapara in all other averot. Ukumod matzino sheishem kapara b'sharivot, kach yeshlem kapara b'tumat mikdash ukdashav. They're getting kapara for all other averot. Why should kodesh and the mikdash and kdashav be an exception? Doesn't make any sense. It must be that they have some kapara. But b'mehei mit kaprim. What do they get kapara with? If they're going to have to get kapara in tumat mikdash ukdashav, how are we going to provide that for them? So mutav shid kapru b'parosh el aron. Better that they're included under parosh alone, shari hutar michlalo, it's al beito. Because even though it says the word lo, which is exclusive, means that it should only take care of him, nevertheless, it takes care of his family as well. That by the seir bifnim, the exclusionary term of am is never breached. And therefore, we're going to say that it's exclusive the am and not the kohanim. So that's either the author, Machluk is Rav and Abaye, who the author of the Braise is. According to Rav, the author of the Braise is Rabbi Shimon. And that's why the Braise is searching for Kapara for the Kohanim, because without the par of the Kohen Gadol, they have no Kapara whatsoever. Abaye says that even Rabbi Yehuda could be the author of this Braise if we focus solely on Tumat Mikdash Ukdashav. Focusing on Tumat Mikdash Ukdashav, we now enter the possibility that the Kohanim would have no Kapara for Tumat Mikdash Ukdashav. They're excluded from the Seir Bifnim, and they're excluded from the power of the Kohen Gadol. The answer of the Gemara is no, they're included under the power of the Kohen Gadol. Now the Gemara says, well then what's the end of the Braisa? Im Nafshecha Lomar. Harei Umer, Beit Aron Baruch Hu Hashem. What is that last line of the Braisa? What is the possibility? What did we say here that would say no? After all that we just did, and all of that we corrected, what would you say now that would say no, and now we need another limud? So Gemara says, oh my im nafshecha lomar, if you want to say, v'chitema beitok tiv. Look, in the end, it says by the par of Aron HaKohen, it says asher lo, but it says v'chiper ba'do uve'ad beito. So then, if you want to say that it's going to include the Kohanim are not beito. It says Bado Uvad Beito. So even after all your limud, maybe we should still exclude, right, the Kohanim. Why is his family included? Because it says Bado Uvad Beito. That includes his family. So now, why should the Kohanim be included over here? So that's where the pasuk comes along and tells us, Kulan Kruyin Beito. All Kohanim are called the Bayit of Aaron. How do we know this? Shneamar Beit Aaron Baruch Hu Hashem. Right, Beit Levi Baruch Hu Hashem. Irei Hashem Baruch Hu Hashem. So since all the Kohanim are called Beito, they can be included under the par of Aron HaKohen. So in that sense, that's the Brisa's solution. The solution to how Tumat Mikdash Ukdashav is solved for the Kohanim is through the par of Aron HaKohen. And even if you want to say, the par of Aron HaKohen is not really Hutar Mechlalo, because it says Bado Bad Beito, his family is included under the par. That's, well, once you're using Ad Beito to include his family, Ad Beito can also include all the Kohanim, because the Kohanim are also called Beit Aharon. They're also called the Beito of Aaron. So now, the Gemara is going to now dissect more in detail this Braisa. I would just point out here that it's interesting that the Tosos asked the question, he doesn't really have a solution to it, is how are the Levi'im included over here? What do you do with the Levi'im? Levi'im are not a Shel Am, they're not included in the Am, but they're also not included on the par Ubado Ubad Beito, because they're not Beit Aharon. They're Beit Levi, they're separate than Beit Aharon. Tosos leaves it as a tzarachion about exactly how we include the Levi'im. And if you want to say they're included in the Seir of the Am, then you do have Hutar Michlalo by the Seir of the Am. Even though it says Seir La'am, we're still including Levi'im in that. So it's a little difficult. I assume that with the best solution to the problem is to say that the Am really includes the Levim. It's not, Am is not to the exclusion. Once you've excluded the Kohanim from Am, then Am includes anybody besides the Kohanim, and that would include the Levim. It's only Kohanim where we find a separate entity, like the Par, that says, all right, there's a Kohen Gadol, something separate, Ado, Bad Beito, then we start to say the Kohanim are excluded from the Am. But when it comes to anything else, including Levim, they will be included under the term or the terminology Am. But again, Tosus leaves it as a Tzarachiyun. I'm just making that point or pointing that to you. And now the Gemara wants to know, Vahaya Sher La'am. A Gemara wanted to darshan, or this Brisa wanted to darshan, when it says, Veshachat et Seira Chatat Asher La'am, we wanted to suggest that Asher La'am comes to exclude the Kohanim. The Gemara says, is that what the Hachi Huda'ata? Hami Baile? We need that for something else. The Kama Rachmana Mida'am Lahave. Meaning that you have to be paid for by the Am. The Seir al-Chatat has to be paid for by the Tzibur. That's what Asher la'am comes to teach you. It comes to teach you that they pay for the Chatat. So when it says, no, how may eight adat b'nei Yisrael? That we learn out from another line here, that where you bring the Seir al-Chatat, when it talks about the animals that are brought on Yom HaKippurim, then we bring umi eight adat b'nei Yisrael, they bring the Shnei Seirim. It says, umi eight adat b'nei Yisrael, kach Shnei Seirizim l'Chatat v'alechad l'Olah. So that we already know, Me'eit Adat B'nei Yisrael, we already know that the Tzibur, or Yisraelim, are paying for the Chatat. So now we have Asher La'am. The Asher La'am is extraneous to teach us La'am and not the Kohanim. So the Gemara says, V'hai Asher Lo, L'hachi Hu Da'ata? Now also, you said before, when it came to the word Asher Lo, that came to teach us Aron and not the Kohanim. Is that really what it's there for? Now, truthfully, in the Parsha, it says Asher Lo, it says it three times. And that's we're about to have the Braisa that's going to explain something about that. I'll just read you the Psukim. It says, V'ikriv Aron et Par HaChatot Asher Lo, V'chaper Bado Bad Beito. Right? And then, again, later on in the Parsha, when it talks about the Chatat, it says, V'ikriv Aron et Par HaChatot Asher Lo, V'chaper Bado Bad Beito, V'chachat et Par HaChatot Asher Lo. So Asher Lo, it's called his par three times. So now the Gemara says, how can you use Asher Lo to say him and not the Kohanim? I need these Asher Lo. What do I need them for? I need them from this Braisa. Mishelo hu mevi. Asher Lo comes to teach you. You know who pays for the par? That doesn't come out of the Trumat HaLishka. That comes out of the pocket of the Kohen Gadol. He's got to pay for the par himself. Ve'enu mevi shel tzibur. That's what the first Asher Lo teaches you. Yochol lo yavi mishel tzibur. Maybe the reason that the tzibur doesn't pay for the par is because they get no benefit from the par. The par is solely for Aron u'beito. Avi yavi mishel achiv ha-kohanim or achav ha-kohanim. He'll bring it from the kohanim. Will pay for it. Why? Achav ha-kohanim mitchaprim bo. When it comes to the par, the kohanim get kapara with the par ha-chatat. So maybe they should have to pay for it. Tamalomar asher lo. That's the second asher lo. So Asher Lo teaches you that the Kohen Gadol pays for it and not the Kohanim. Yochol lo yavi. You would think that if he didn't bring it, vim hevi kasher. Maybe that if lo yavi, he doesn't have to bring, that they shouldn't bring it this way. Vim hevi. But if he does do it kasher, tamalom ashuv asher lo. Then a third time it tells Asher Lo to teach you, hakatuv shon olav la'akev. Then it comes to teach you that's the ikuva. The Ikuva that it has to be paid for by the Kohen HaGadol, that it's his money, he's got to pay for, and it's got to be his par. So if that's the case, now I've used all the Asher Lo's to teach me, number one, that the Kohen pays for it, he pays for it, and not the Kohanim, and that he pays for it, and no, that's the Akev, meaning that you can't even if someone else pays for it, it doesn't work, he's got to pay for it. So if that's the case, we don't have any Asher Lo extra to teach you that it's Asher Lo, him, and not the Kohanim. So Gemara says, no. Tano hochi kakashale. This is the question of the author of the Braisa, of why, even though he doesn't have an extra asher lo, he has a problem. What's that? My shana bida'am, to lo mechaper. What is it about the sa'ir chatat of the am that the Kohanim don't get a kapara from it? To lo kachasre be memona. The reason the Kohanim don't get kapara from sa'ir the am would be because it says, or our havamina at this point is because it says, sa'ir chatat asher la'am. Right, that he's shachat asir chatat asher la'am is why? Why is the chatat working to be mechaper for the am? Because it's asher la'am. The am paid for it. So they paid for it, that's why they're getting kapara. Well, guess who didn't pay for it? That's the Kohanim. Since the Kohanim didn't pay for it, they're also not getting kapara from the asher la'am. Well, if I take that logic and I extend it to the par of the Aron, I have a problem now. Well, so now it says, maybe they shouldn't get kapara from Aaron's part. Why? They're not shelling out any money for the parlachatat of the Kohen Gadol. Aaron pays for it by himself. So now you have a situation where the Kohanim are not paying for either kapara. They're not paying for the kapara of the Seir La'am because they aren't part of the Am. They don't pay for it. Now, this is, of course, this works according to the one who says that the Kohanim did not give machatzit shekel. So that's clear, then they didn't pay for it. But even according to those that say that the Kohanim paid machatzit shekel, Tosus points out that we would learn from here that, for instance, if they didn't ran out, the Trumat HaLishka ran out and they had to collect the money, they wouldn't take it from the Kohanim, they'd only take it from the Yisraelim to pay for the Seir Lechatat. Or other situations where, for instance, somebody donates a Seir to the Am in order to use as the Seir Lechatat, and they do it to the exclusion of the Kohanim. So again, that would be fine because the Kohanim don't have to pay for it. So here we have a situation where the Kohanim don't pay for it, and that's why they don't get kapara from it. Well, if you extend that logic to the par chatat, to the par of Aaron, then they also didn't pay for the par of Aaron. Well, if they didn't pay for the par of Aaron, maybe they shouldn't get kapara from the par of Aaron. So that's the answer of the Braisa, which is Kamar, Kulam, Kriyin, Beito. In the end, they're all called Beito. So even though they didn't pay for it, they're still included in the par of Aharon. So the limud in the end, or what we learn in the end, is it has nothing to do with whether you pay for it or not. You get kapara even though you don't pay for it. And so that's because of that. Then we also in that sense, know that once we've gotten to that conclusion, they can also get kapara from the Seir Mishtaleach, even though they don't pay for it. Meaning that paying is not the prerequisite for getting kapara from the animal, because we see the exception to the rule. We see that by the par of Aaron, even though they didn't pay for it, they're able to get kapara because they're included under v'chiper bado uba'ad beito, and they are called beito. So now the Gemara says, Bishlamo the Rabbi Shimon, hainu dechtiv trei viduyim v'dam hapar. According to Rabbi Shimon, it makes sense now. We do this in the avoda of the Musaf on Yom Kippurim, if you remember, that by the par, there's actually two times that the Kohen Gadol says vidui on the par, and then you actually have him being makriv the par. So now you have three kaparot that are associated with the par of Aaron HaKohen. Two viduim, plus the dam hapar, the actual being makriv the dam on the mizbeach. So he says, according to Rabbi Shimon, that makes sense. Why? Because the Kohanim all get entirely, their entire kapara for Yom Kippur, they get from the par. Now wait, for the Israelim, what is there? For the Israelim, there are actually three things that help them out. What are the three things? So now, chad, keneged seir anaseh bifnim, v'chad, keneged seir anaseh b'chutz, v'chad, keneged seir hamishtaleach. Right, for the regular Yisraelim, we have three Se'irim that function for them on Yom Kippurim. That's Se'ir LaHashem, which is the one that goes B'fnaim Yifnim, which is Mechaper on Yediyah B'tchila V'en Yediyah B'sof. You have Se'ir B'chutz, which is Mechaper on En Yediyah B'tchila V'yesh Yediyah B'sof. And then you have the Se'ir Mishtaleach that takes care of all other Aveirot. So now, connected that, if according to Rabbi Shimon, the Par does all of that for the Kohanim. So therefore, I have three Kaparot associated with the Par. Two Viduis, and one dam han lemizbeach of the par. So if I do that, I have three kaparot connected to the three kaparot that Bnei Yisrael get. El Rabbi Yehuda, trei viduim dam hapar lamali. According to Rabbi Yehuda, why do I need that? Why is that? Because Rabbi Yehuda believes that the Kohanim are included in the Seir Mishtaleach. So therefore, the par only has to make up for two things. It has to make up for the Seir Naseh Bifnim, the Seir Lashem, and the Seir Achitzon. So why, if it only has to make up for two things, why are there three kaparot associated with the par? The two viduim plus the dama par. So that's what it says. So if that's the case, itrei viduim and dama par, lamali, bechad vidui v'damo sagi. With one vidui and the dam would be enough. Echad lo, echad beito. The answer is one for him and one for his household. That is the what we say, if you remember, it says in the Psukim, but we say it on Yom HaKippurim, the vidui that he says, the first vidui Aaron says, is solely for himself. And the second vidui is mechaper alav v'al beito. So over there it says, k'tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, kachi midat hadin noheget. Mutav yavo zakai v'chaper alachayav. It's much better that someone who's already innocent should come and represent those that are guilty or those that need kapara. Someone who is still himself, in need of kapara, he shouldn't come along and be mechaper and others that need kapara. So what do we have? The Kohen Gadol does a vidui for himself in order to be mechaper for himself. Once he is then zakai, he can go and represent or be the mechaper for the other Kohanim or for the Beito. And then again, so the double vidui is not because it provides an additional kapara, it provides the same kapara, but we divided up the kapara of the Kohen Gadol himself versus the Kohen Gadol, Bado, Uva'ad Beito, between him and his Beito. So even though they're doing the same thing, the two viduim, we do it in two stages in order to provide kapara first for the Kohen Gadol, and then secondly to provide kapara for everybody else that is included in the par, but once the Kohen Gadol has already been exonerated or somehow acquitted of his chataim, then he comes and represents or does the kapara for others. Tosus over here wants to suggest that even according to Rabbi Shimon, that even though Rabbi Shimon believes the two viduim do two separate functions, nevertheless he agrees that in the first vidui you'd only mention Aaron, and the second vidui you'd mention Aaron uveto, so that you could accomplish both items. You could also have Aaron be, you know, exonerated first, and then have the adob ad beto in the second vidui, even though they're really accomplishing two things. They're replacing the seir bifni and the seir b'chutz. It's a stretch that Tosa says that, but he wants to do this in order that, because Rabbi Shimon's the author of many of the Mishnayot in Yoma. And based on that, the Mishnayot and Yoma say explicitly that there are two viduyim on the par. One is Bado, and the second one is Bado Vad Beito. So Rabbi Shimon is the author of those Mishnayot and Yoma. Tosfos wants to reconcile between Rabbi Shimon there and Rabbi Shimon here. So the only way to do that is to say that he also holds to this idea of Rabbi Yehuda, even though he thinks that the two viduyim are accomplishing different kaparot. All right, so now, Tosfos does ask over here that we're left with one thing. What is the one thing that we're left with? The Seirei Roshei Chadashim and the Seirei Regalim. So what do we do with those? I mean that here we have a specific, by Yom HaKippurim, we say that there's a specific inclusion of the Kohanim in the Kapara, because it says Vado V'ad Beito, and they're called Beit Aron. They're not included in the Seir of the Am, because it's a Seir La'am. So how are they included? How are they taken care of the Regalim and the Rosh HaKadashim? Whether you believe that means En Yediyah B'tchila, En Yediyah B'sof, or whether it means that it's referring to the Tumat HaKodesh, when the Gavra is Tahor, and he eats Tumat HaKodesh, how are they included in this? So Tosfos wants to suggest that once we learn the principle from Asher La'am, and then Asher Lo, we thought that Asher La'am excluded the Kohanim, and Asher Lo, right, excludes the Kohanim as well. Because what? The Kohanim don't pay for either the par or the seir. But once we learn from the word, from Beit Aron, Bado, Beito, that paying has no relationship to getting kapara, at that point in time, then if we don't have a specific exclusion, we're going to include them in the seir of the regel and the seir of Rosh Chodesh, because we don't have Asher La'am by those. So since we don't have a specific exclusion to exclude the Kohanim, therefore we will include them in the seir of the Seirim of the Am, which is the Seir of the Regalim and Seir Shchodashim, and the Kohanim will get Kapara along with the Am in those Seirim, or those Musafim, the Seirei Chatat Musafim there. Alright, so now we'll begin the what's called Yidiot Tuma Hasheni, meaning that it's both you have your first parak of Yidiot Tuma, now this is the second parak of Yidiot Tuma. Here we start again, Yidiot Tuma Shtaim Shein Arba, which is already, we explained this in the first Mishnah, that you do to Tuma, Shein Arba, Nitma. So what's the case here? So Nitma viyada. He became Tamei, and he knew that he became Tamei. Vidnit almamimenu ha-Tuma. Then he forgot that he was Tamei. Vizachorit ha-Kodesh. And he knew that there was Kodesh there. Nelamimenu ha-Kodesh. Vizachorit ha-Tuma. Or, he forgot that it was Kodesh, but he remembered that he was Tamei. Nelamimenu ze-vizeh. Or he forgot both, that he was Tamei, and this is Kodesh. V'chalat ha-kodesh, and then he eats the kodesh. V'lo yada, and he doesn't remember. Mish'achal yada, after he's eaten, he already knows it. Harizeh bo'lev yored. This is the classic case of bo'lev yored. He had a yediyah in the beginning. He knew either he was tamei, and he knew about everything that was wrong with being tamei and eating kodesh and mikdash. In the middle, he has a forgetting. He either forgets that he's tamei, or he forgets about the kodesh or the mikdash. And then nitma, in the end, he eats the Kodesh, and then he remembers afterwards that he's Tamei. That's the case. Yediyah b'tchila, yediyah b'sof, and you have a forgetting in the middle. That's the case of a Karban, Olevi, or Reid. That's by Kodesh. And we have the exact same thing applied by Mikdash, which is the next example in the Mishnah. Nitma, v'yada, v'ne'oma mimenu. he became Tameh, and he knew he was Tameh, then he forgot he was Tameh. So Ne'amar Menu Tumah, he forgets that he's Tameh, Zachor et HaMikdash, but he knows that he's entering into the Mikdash. Ne'alam Yemenu Mikdash, or he forgets that he's entering the Mikdash, but Zachor et HaTumah, he knows he's Tameh, but he forgets that he's entering the Mikdash. Or Ne'alam Yemenu Zevezeh, or he forgets that he's Tameh, and he forgets he's entering the Makom HaMikdash, Ve'yachnas the Mikdash, and he enters that area. Ve'lo Yada, and of course he's not with knowledge when he does that. Mishiyotza Yada, once he leaves, he knows better, he remembers that he was Tameh. So then, Harizeh, Olevi Yored, that's the other case of Olevi Yored. So that's what we've been calling until now, Tumat Mikdash Ukdashav. We have a Diya Betchila, Yediya Besof. That's the, at the end of Parshat Vayikra, in Perek Hay, that's talking about the Karban Olevi Yored that comes from Tumat Mikdash Ukdashav, is where you knew, you had information in the beginning, you forget that information, and then you remember it afterwards. That's what you bring, a Karban Olevi Yored. What type of yediya you need here? Rashi says that when nitma v'yada is that yadash nitma, that he knew that he was tameh, that he had full knowledge of being tameh. Even though in the first parak we set up the Mishnah to be like Rabbi, and Rabbi believes you don't need a full-fledged yediya, all you need is yediyat beit rabo, that you just have to have some, you have to have knowledge that there's a concept of tumah in the world. You don't have to know that you became tameh in this instance. You have to know that there's such a concept in the world. So Tosfos wants to suggest that it doesn't, here nitma doesn't literally mean you have to know you were tameh, but rather you had to know about the din of tumah, that you had to know at some point in time about the halachot of tumah. Right now, the Gemara is going to give other instances. Echad hanichnas la'azara, ve'echad hanichnas la'tosefet ha'azara. Doesn't matter when you're tameh and you enter the mikdash, you enter the original Azara, or you enter into an Azara that's been extended. I mean, if they expanded the Beit HaMikdash to include larger tracts of area or larger area, that would be included under this punishment of Karet. Shem Mosifim Aleir Valazarot Ela B'Melech V'Naviv Urim Torim V'Sanhedrin Shel Shimim V'Echad. In order to expand, right, this city or the Azara, it requires the participation of the king, a Navi, the Urim V'Tumim, and the Sanhedrin of 71. Ubishtei todot, and you have to bring two todot. Over, we'll see in the Gemara that doesn't literally mean karban todah, but the shtei alechem that come with the todah. Ubasar, ubashir, I'm sorry, and you have to with song. Ubeitin mahalchin, and the bezin walks around. Ubishtei todot achrehem, and the two todot are after them. V'chol Yisrael achrehem, and all Bnei Yisrael are after them. So this is a ceremony we're going to see later on. The Gemara is going to have a machlokas, and we dealt with this a little bit earlier in the Gemara about Kedusha Rishona in Makot, whether Kedusha Rishona is the Kitchel Atid Lavo or Kedusha Shnia, and what implications that has. But anyway, the Gemara is going to go through this, what this ceremonial process, this is the Mishnah, will deal. All this will be dealt with and dissected by the Gemara about what they have to do to create this. Now, apanimit ne'achelet v'chitzona nisrefet. When they walk around, the two chalot that they take around, one of them is outside the area that is now kadosh, one of them they keep inside the area that's kadosh. So one that's on the outside, it goes, is nisraf, because it went l'chutz l'choma, and the one that was inside is eden, because it stayed within the in the confines where it's supposed to be. V'chol shenlo nasit v'cholelo anichnas shel shem in chayevela. If the extra, or the expansion of the azara, wasn't done with this proper ceremony, this proper tekes, then it's not really an addition to the Azara. It's not really Kodesh. So therefore, if someone goes in there, they're not going to be Chayav on it because it's not really an Azara anymore. It's not really the Mikdash. Right now, what happens, this is a new case here, which is Nitma Bazara. He became Tameh when he was already in the Azara. Not like our cases till now, which is he's Tameh and then enters the Mikdash. Here he became Tameh in the Mikdash itself. V'yalma mimenu tum'a. And then he forgets that he's Tameh. Zachor to Mikdash, but he remembers he's inside the Mikdash. Elam Memenu Mikdash, or he forgets he's in the Mikdash, Zachor to Ma, but he knows he's Tameh. Elam Memenu Zevezeh, or he forgets both things, that whether the fact that he's Tameh and he's in the Mikdash, Vishtachaveh, or he, and then he bows down. Or Sheshahabekte Hishtachaveh, or he stays in the Mikdash. He does not leave immediately from the Mikdash, but remains in the Mikdash long enough to bow down. The Gemara will tell us how long that is. Obalo Baruka, or on his way out, he did not take the shortest route out of the Mikdash. Once he became Tameh, he took a longer route out. In all these cases, he is Chayav. In these cases, he's Chayav. Biktzara, if he takes the shortest route out, Patur. Then he's Patur. So the demand is, and we'll explain this in a second, the demand is, it's a mitzvah saseh that is found in Parshat Naso, which is that if you become Tameh, you have to be Nishlach. Shilach oto achutzu. You have to send them out of the Machaneh. when you send him out, so you have to get him out. So if he comes to Tamei Nazara, he can't be Chayav right away because it's not his fault. He became Tamei Nazara. What he is obligated to do is to leave in the most expedient fashion. That means he has to leave with the shortest route and the fastest way possible. If he delays or tarries in any way or takes a longer route, then he's Chayav. But he's Chayav here for violating the Aseh. Not violating a Lo Taseh. He's violating the Aseh of leave. That when you're Tamei, you must leave the Machaneh. So that's what the Gemara says here. Zuhi mitzvah taseh shebi mikdash she'ein chayavin aleha. This is a mitzvah taseh in the mikdash that you are not chayav on it. And when we say she'ein chayavin aleha, this is we're talking about Beit Din. When we're talking about ein chayavin aleha, it's not talking about the individual himself. Obviously, the individual self is not chayav on it because he can't. It's a mitzvah taseh. By mitzvah taseh, there is no punishment. I mean, he's responsible. He'll be held accountable for violating an aseh, but there's no karban olev v'yorei. There's nothing like that. What they are talking about is an aseh, which is when the Beit Din HaGadol gives a psak halacha that causes the rove of Bnei Israel to violate some halacha. If this is the halacha that they said that it was okay to stay in the Mikdash, it was okay to leave the Mikdash in the longer route after you become Tamei, in that case, that's not something that we mechayiv you a par helam dover shel tzibur. That's what it means, Shein Chayvin Aleb. That Beit Din doesn't have to bring a par helam dover tzibur, or the Kohen Mashiach, who has his own special korban, he does not bring this korban over an issue like this. What is an issue that they will bring it? Vezuhi. Mitzvah that say what is the mitzvah that say that you can if based in paskins to abrogate somehow this mitzvah that say that they would bring a parahelam davar tzibur? That's mitzvah that say shibinida shechayavin aleha. That's mitzvah nida. That's the case. What's the case of mitzvah that say by nida? Now, anyway, truthfully, this has nothing to do with our sugya here, and the only reason it's brought down is because in the Mishnah in Horiot it talks about these two different assays. So here the Mishnah brings them together. Even though really it's not the inyon of our Mishnah. So even though we really didn't, was the assay of Mikdash, but nevertheless, once we dealt with that, we also bring in the assay of Nida, which is the different than the assay of Mikdash. When I say Mikdash, you're not chayav a parallel davar shel tzibur, but the assay of Nida, you are chayav. What's the assay of Nida? Hayer mishamesh im tehora. So he was having relations with a woman who was tehora, which is the equivalent of someone entering into the Mikdash when they are tahor. So then, va'amru lo nitzmeti. She says, while they're in the middle of intercourse, she says, I had a flow, I became a nida. While the middle of intercourse. The same, this is the equivalent of someone who enters into the mikdash, head there, and then he becomes tamei in the mikdash. Uperash miyad. And then he pulls out right away. Then he is chayav, mipnesh yitziato hanalo kiviato. So as opposed to the mikdash, where he becomes tamei in the mikdash, what's the solution? What he must do? He must leave immediately. He has to take the fastest, shortest way out of the Mikdash. And if he does that, he is not chayav. All right? That is the proper thing to do. On the other hand, when it comes over here to a nida, the proper solution, if she says nitmeti while they're in the middle of intercourse, the wrong thing to do is to pull out and to stop the intercourse right away. Why? So that's the Mishnah gives the explanation. Because, mipnei shi yitziato analo kiviato, that the removal of the aver at that point in time gives him hana. And that means that he's being boel and nida. He's getting hana from the nida. So what should he do? What is the solution? So here, the Mishnah doesn't speak about it, but the solution is that he should wait. He should not move. There, in the Gemara Nida, as well as in Horiot, it's much more explicit. No, it's Tziparnav, he puts his nails into the ground, he holds himself absolutely still until the Aver, right, is mate, until the erection has gone away, and then he can take himself out, because therefore he gets no hana when he removes himself from the nida. So that's the difference, again, between the halacha by someone who's supposed to leave the mikdash versus someone who has nida, even though the circumstances seem to be almost identical. Now, we have three opinions here at the end of the Mishnah. The Gemara will later discuss these three opinions and the difference between them. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Hasheretz, Ve'ne'alam Mimenu, that if he was Tamei, too much Sheretz, and forgot about it, Elam Sheretz Chayav, Enu Chayav El Halam Mikdash. He's only Chayav if he forgets about the Tumata Sheretz, not if he forgets about the Mikdash. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ve'ne'alam Mimenu, V'hu Tamei, Alhem Tuma Chayav, Enu Chayav El Halam Mikdash. Rabbi Akiva says, no, he's Chayav for any Halam Tuma, not Helam Mikdash. What the difference between Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Kiva will be subject to discussion in the Gemara. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, V'ne'alam, V'ne'alam. It says it shtei pe'amim. In the Psukim, the term V'ne'alam is used twice in the Parsha, which says that, O Nefesh, ki tech nashiti gab khod avar tamei ov nivlat chaya tamei ov vlat beima tamei ov vlat sheretz tamei v'ne'elam mimenu v'hu tamei v'ashem. And the next part is ki gabi tumat adam l'chol tumato sheitma ba v'ne'elam mimenu v'yodav v'ashem. So there's v'ne'elam mimenu twice. So twice it says ne'elam mimenu to teach you what? To tell you that if you forget about the Tumah or you forget about the Mikdash, either one of those is sufficient to make you Chayav in a Karban or Levi or Reid. We saw Rabbi Akiva already. We saw the Machlokas of Rabbi Akiva and Shmuel in the first parak when we're trying to determine who was the author of the Mishnah. Because Shtayin Shen Arba is true for Rabbi Shmuel, because Rabbi Shmuel can have forgetting of Tumah and forgetting of Mikdash. Whereas for Rabbi Akiva, they're only Shtayim and there's no Arba. Why? Because according to Rabbi Akiva, there is no Helem Mikdash and Helem Kodesh, because for that you're not Chayav, a Karban, no Levi, you're not Chayav for Yidiyot Tumah in that case. Alright, so now that, again, will be all be deferred to the Gemara, we'll discuss the differences in their opinions. Amar Papa de Abaye, Shtayim Shein Arba, how come you think Yidiyot Tumah are two that are four? It's really Shtayim Shein Sheis Havin. It's really two that lead to six. Why is it two that lead to six? Because I have Yidiyot Tumah Tchila, Vesof, I have knowing Tumah in the beginning and knowing Tumah in the end. Yidiyot HaKodesh, Tchila Vesof. Or, I knew about the Kodesh in the beginning, I knew about the Kodesh in the end, and I forgot in the middle. Or, Yidiyat Mikdash, Tchila Vesof. I knew about the Mikdash, I forgot about the Mikdash, and then I remembered about the Mikdash. So if you're talking about Yidiyot, Yidiyot means to know. If I'm talking about the knowledge, it's Shtayin Shein Arba. It's really, not Shtayin Shein Arba, it's Shtayin Shalom Sheish. There's six times that you remember over here. You either remember in the beginning you were Tamei, you remember this was Kodesh, or you remember this was Mikdash. You forget you were Tameh, you forget this was Kodesh, you forget this was the Mikdash, and then you remember again. So you remember the Tumah, you remember the Kodesh, you remember the Mikdash. That's six different forms of Yediyah that you can know. Mar says, Ula Tameich, Tamnya Havin. What do you mean? According to you, there should be eight. Why? Because there's Yediyah to Tumah when you're eating Kodesh, and there's Yediyah to Tumah when you enter the Mikdash. So there's really times, four times you have Yediyah to Tumah. One Tumah remembering, forgetting Mikdash, forgetting Tumah when you enter the Mikdash, then remembering Tumah at the end. Or, knowing your Tameh, forgetting your Tameh, eating Kodesh, and then remembering Tumah at the end. So there really should be eight cases. The Gemara says, Da'ika Tumah the Kodesh, V'tumah the Mikdash, Techila V'sof, because those are two different forms of Tumah. The Gemara says, Halokasha Shem Tumah Achati. In that case, it's still one Shem Tumah. At least when you say Kodesh and Mikdash are two separate entities, two separate cases. But when you talk about Tumah, you remember Tumah in the beginning, you remember Tumah in the end. And then you forgot in the middle. What you did in the middle is either I went into the Mikdash or ate Kodesh. But the Tumah is all the same. It's still the same Tumah that you remember in the beginning and that you remember in the end. It's just the question of how you violated the, you know, in between. So in that case, it's only six cases or six manifestations of Yediyot Tumah. So when it says Mikom Akon Shitavion, there's still six. And how do you explain our mission that says Yidiyot Tumah Shtayim Shein Arba? So Amar Rav Papa in the end says, you know what? Olam Tamnei Havin. And then you're right. Enoch and Aim, there are eight cases. Arba Kamaito, the Log Maitin Leili Dei Karban Lo Chachoshiv. The four Yidiyot in the beginning that don't make him Chayav the Karban, the Mishnah doesn't take interest in. Arba Bachraito, the Maitin Leili Dei Karban Chachoshiv. The four latter cases where it brings him to a chiyuv karban, that's what they consider. So again, in order to forget, there's a prerequisite that he must have known something. So that's the first four yediot. That's that yada he was tamei, yada that it was mikdash, yada that it was kodesh, and yediat tumah, there's yada tamei, and then he enters mikdash, or yada tumah, and he ends eating up kodesh when he forgets. So those are eight cases. And those eight cases have yediyah b'tchila and yediyah b'sof. But the Yediyah B'Tchila is just a prerequisite for the forgetting. But it's not what makes you Chayav the Karban. What makes you Chayav the Karban is when you remember afterwards. So that's what the Shtayim Shein Arba is. The Arba in the end are the four Yediyot that would make you Chayav a Karban Ole V'Yored. V'Kedamrei Amar Rav Papa. Some say Rav Papa explained it this way. The Olam Tamnei Havin. Again, there are eight Yediyot. V'Arba'ai Kamaita. The four first ones are what the Mishnah enumerates here. Delitnuhu B'Chol HaTorah Kula. Because that's exceptional to Tumat Mikdash Ukdashav, which is not true throughout the rest of the Torah. Because when it comes to the rest of the Torah, then there's a requirement of Yediyah Basof, to be Chayav a Korban Chatat. In any case, you have to know that you violated something. You just have to know you did it by accident, but you have to have knowledge that you violated it. But we do not require Yediyah B'Tchila. We don't require that you knew beforehand. We don't require that you knew it was Chalev before you eat it. All we need to know is that after you ate it, that you ate chalev by accident. We don't require you to know it's chalev, forget, eat it, and then afterwards come and remember it, we simply say, if you didn't know this was chaylev and you ate it, right, and then later on you remember, you're chayev achatat. So we see there, what's the idiot that are exceptional to tumat mikdashuk tashav, or a specific requirement to tumat mikdashuk tashav? That's the tumah that is before, right, beforehand. The tumah afterwards is something that's common to everything in the Torah. Anything that you deal with a chatat, a shogeg, you need the idiyah b'achrona. So there's the idiyah b'chila, which is unique to tumat mikdashuk tashav. That's what's being enumerated in the Mishnah. So I just read that again, the ikad amrei. There are really eight yidiot. The four yidiot in the beginning, which is unique to tumat mikdash kudashav, that's what it's enumerated in the Mishnah. The four yidiot that are after the fact, so those that are common to any other case of korban in the Torah, which is need yidiot b'tchsof, that's not unique to tumat mikdash kudashav. Therefore, the Mishnah or the author of the Mishnah didn't mention them here. So now, boyrav papa. What happens if he forgot the halachos of tumah mahu? What's the din over here? So now the Gemara says, "Hey chidami, how is it that he forgot about the hilchot tumah? If he doesn't know the difference between a sheretz and a tzvardeya, meaning that the Torah enumerates for us the shmona shvatzim that are mitamei." And he has Tzvardeya, it happens not to be one of those Shmona Shvatzim. But what happens if he doesn't know that a Tzvardeya is or isn't? He's just unaware of what's classified as the Shmona Shvatzim. So maybe that's what it means, he forgot Hilchot Tumah. You know what we say to a person like that? We say, Zil Kari Beiravu. We say, that's what the kids learn in Cheder. Since kids learn that in Cheder, all you have to do is open up a Chumash and look at the Psukim, and you'll know the answer to that question. So that's not an excuse. Tosos goes as far as to say that even if he never learned in Cheder, nevertheless he has a responsibility to ask. It's something that he could have asked about. So he should have asked about this, because it's something that's explicit in the Psukim, and anybody could answer him this question. He doesn't need a Talmud Chochem to answer this question. It's something explicit in the Psukim. So that's Zili Bei Kari Bravu. So that can't be what we're talking about here, that he forgot the Hilchot Tumah. So Mar says, no. The Olam Diyodo B'Tumat Sheretz. He knows about Tumat Sheretz. He touched a Sheretz, but the Sheretz was only the size, or the share part of the Sheretz that he touched was only the size of a lentil. And he's uncertain as to whether the touching of a Sheretz that's the size of a Kadasha is mitame or not. My. So what's the din here? So since he knows that Shratzim in general do make you tame, he just doesn't know about the Shiur. Then that's Yediyah he. That's classified as having Yediyah b'tchila, because he does know that there's too much sheretz. He just doesn't know the shear of it. But that's enough to be classified as Yediyah. O Dilma, Kevin Kadasha, Lo Yodo, Imitame, Ilomitame, Halomahi. Or maybe since he has no, he doesn't have a clear understanding that whether when he touches a Kadasha he's Tamei or not Tamei, that's classified as Yediyah, not knowing. If he doesn't know, then there's no yediyah in halama, and he won't be chayav in that case to bring a korban. So teiku, Gemara leaves that as an unresolved issue as to whether having partial yediyah, knowing that too much sheretz exists in the world, but not knowing the shiur, if that's enough to classify you as having a yediyah or not. Now, by Rabbi Yirmiya, ben Bavel sha'ala l'eretz Yisrael. You have, it's like many of the people here, we're all at one point lived in Chutz La'aretz, and then he can make Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. So he makes up Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. V'nelem mimenu makom mikdash. And he doesn't know where the makom mikdash is. He forgets where the makom mikdash is. He's a newbie on the street. He just came in. He doesn't know where the mikdash is. Mahu. Aliba the man. Now who are we asking this question according to? E aliba the Rabbi Akiva. If it's according to Rabbi Akiva, the by yediyah b'tchila, that requires yediyah beforehand, halo mechayev al helem mikdash. There's nothing to speak about, because we just saw Rabbi Kiva in our Mishnah. Kiva in our Mishnah says that you're only chayav when you forget about Tumah. But if you forget about the Mikdash, you're not chayav at Korban Olev Yoreid. That's not the case. There is no Helam Mikdash or Kodesh. So over here, if he forgets Makom Mikdash, there's nothing to discuss according to Rabbi Kiva. You're not chayav or Korban in that case. That's not the case that we're talking about by Korban Olev Yoreid. Eel Libid Rabbi Shmuel. So what are you going to say? It's Rabbi Shmuel. Because Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion, we saw on this in our Mishnah just now, Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that both if you forget Tumah, or you forget the Mikdash or Kodesh, you are Chayav in those cases. Ah, so now we have someone who says that if you forget about the Mikdash, you are Chayav. So maybe Rabbi Shmuel should be the author of this question, or be according to him the question should stand. No, because the Gemara says, we saw Rabbi Shmuel in the first parak who says Rabbi Shmuel does not require yediyah b'tchilah beforehand. He only requires a yediyah b'sof, not a yediyah b'tchilah. So if he doesn't require yediyah b'tchilah, in the end, it doesn't really matter that this person has no idea where the mikdash is. He just has to forget in where it is. So that's the no yediyah b'tchilah doesn't in eno malev or morid. So now, so who's this question according to? So Gemara says lo tzricha alibu de Rabbi. Question is according to Rabbi, who we said in the first parak is the author of this mishnah, deba yediyah b'tchilah, that he requires both yediyah b'tchilah u'basof like Rabbi Akiva u'mechayev alala mikdash. But he's also Mechayv Alei Mikdash like Rabbi Yishmael. He is a piecemeal of those two opinions. Takes Rabbi Akiva's position when it comes to Yediyah, the necessity of Yediyah B'tchilah for, you know, foreknowledge in order to be Chayav. But he also does not hold like Rabbi Akiva in the sense that forgetting the Mikdash is not enough. He holds like Rabbi Yishmael that forgetting the Mikdash is sufficient. V'amar. And we know what, according to Rabbi, the last part of Rabbi's position is that Yediyat Beit Rabo Shema Yediyah. That knowledge, having once learned the halacha, is enough. Not that you have to specifically know about in this case that you are tameh. You just have to know that there's a problem if you touch the sheretz that you would be tameh. So now, what's the case here? My kevan deyodo deika mikdash bolam. Since this Jew is coming up from Bavel, knows there's a base of mikdash. He knows there's a place that he's not supposed to go. Right? So mikdash bolam yediyahi. That's considered like yediyat beit rabo. He knows halacha. He knows about mikdash. He just happens not to know where the mikdash is. Here in Yerushalayim, or where it's located, or where he shouldn't go. Odilma came into Mekomolo Yodale. So maybe, but maybe if you suggest that even though he knows where to go in Yerushalayim, he knows to come into Yerushalayim, he knows there's such a place as a Mikdash, but nevertheless, he just doesn't know where the place that's problematic, where he's not allowed to enter is. So that'll be Kihalomahi, that maybe that's considered forgetting. And since that's enough of a forgetting, that means that he doesn't have a Yediyah B'tchilah now. He doesn't have any yediyah b'chidah because he never knew where the Makom HaMikdash was because he never went there before. So that the Gemara again leaves as a teiku. That uncertainty, right, since we don't know where it is in this case. Now it's, Rashi over here suggests that how is this different than yediyat beit rabo? Meaning that yediyat beit rabo, we said if he knows the halacha that a sheretz is metameh, then he doesn't have to know in this case that he became tameh. So how do we differentiate that from the case here? We know there's a problem to enter the area of the Mikdash, and he doesn't know where the Mikdash is. That should be classified as Yediyat Beit Rabo. How are they different? So Rashi over here says, V'lo dami l'diyat Beit Rabo. This is not similar to Yediyat Beit Rabo. D'tuma d'ilu hotom lamad sha'sheretz mitameh. Because there he learned that the sheretz is mitameh. Ukesh nagabo yadash nagab sheretz. And when he touched it, he knows that he touched a sheretz. Over here, he might have knowledge, right, that that going into the Mikdash is not allowed, but he has no clue when he's entered into the area of the Mikdash. He has no way to know because he just doesn't know where the boundaries are, so he has no idea of knowing that. So that's different than Yediyat Beit Rabo by the Sheretz, where he knows the Sheretz is Mitameh, number one. And number two is that he can, right, he can touch a Sheretz and he knows he's touched the Sheretz. He has that much knowledge. He has enough knowledge. That's called Yediyat Beit Rabo. By Mikdash, you don't have that component because he never knows that he entered into the Mikdash. Tosfos takes issue with Rashi's explanation of that it has to know Negiyah B'Sheretz is enough. He says then, if that's the case, you have a problem. Why? Because early on in the Gemara, we had a question in the first parak as, who doesn't have Yediyat Beit Rabo? According to Rabbi, is there anybody who doesn't have Yediyat Beit Rabo? What was the answer to the Gemara over there? Gemara said, Tinok Shenishba. Tinok Shenishba was the only person who didn't go to school, didn't know, doesn't know anything about Tumas, that's why he doesn't know it. Tosfos says, well, if Rashi's explanation is right, I could come up with another case where Yediyat Beit Rabo is not enough, which is what? So that he didn't know that when he was touching a sheretz, that he was actually touching a sheretz. I mean, that's a case. I mean, that he could know about Hilchos Tumah of sheretz, and yet he has no knowledge of touching a sheretz. So if he doesn't know that, that should be enough to be poter him, or to say that he doesn't have Yediyah B'tchilah, according to Rabbi. The fact that the Gemara did not answer that earlier suggests that maybe he does not have to here. That Shenagabo Yadash, Shenagabo Sheretz, maybe that's not a necessary requirement. Rashi says it's a necessary requirement to be Yediyah Beit Rabo. Tosfos is unsure of whether that's really a necessity, because if it really was a necessity, the Gemara had an alternative answer earlier on. Now, Tosos now asks, also points out on himself, where we said before, Yediat Beit Rabo, or Zil Kari Bei Rav, we said was enough that he should have, if he should have asked about it, that's enough to make him Chayav. Well, why don't we say the same thing here by this Ben Bavel? The Ben Bavel comes up to the Mikdash, and we say, okay, that's not a Yediat. Well, why not? He should have asked, where are the confines of the Mikdash? Where are the borders of the Mikdash? So I know not where to go, where to not go into. The fact that he doesn't ask may not be an excuse to be considered an Iyidiyah. Maybe he's classified as knowing because he should have asked. Tosus says, well, according to my own Shita, how do I explain this over here? So Tosus wants to suggest is that we're talking Bizman Hazeh. Shein Matsui Lishael. Because there's nobody asked where the Makom HaMikdash is anymore. So as opposed to in the time when they knew where the Makom HaMikdash was, and then you could say you should have asked, over today you don't have that answer. You can't say. Or at a point in time when they no longer knew where exactly the Makom HaMikdash was, there was nobody to ask, that'll be the case. Where we can't make a demand of him, you should have asked to know, because even if you asked, you wouldn't know. So that's one possibility that Tosfos gives. And the other possibility, the other thing that Tosfos says, well, if that's true, then why is the Gemara focused on Ben Bavel and not a Ben Eretz Yisrael? Today, Bizman Hazeh should be irrelevant. When you're a Ben Bavel or Ben Eretz Yisrael, you wouldn't know where the Makom HaMikdash is. So Tosfos wants to suggest that he pointed out to Ben Bavel because it's more likely that someone who lived in Eretz Yisrael would have that knowledge. Ben Bavel for sure does not have that knowledge. And again, Tosfos is suggesting here that he hasn't the ability to gain the knowledge because nobody can answer the question today of where is the Makom HaMikdash. All right. Why don't we stop? We'll stop over here, and we'll continue, please God, tomorrow with the rest of the sugya of our Mishnah. All right. Great. Have a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow, please God.